I want to ask you, if you would, please, to turn your Bibles with me to the book of John, chapter 10. And I'm going to read a couple of verses there, a little bit out of sequence, but they're going to help me to make my point this morning. I want to take for a title this morning, The Voice of the Shepherd. The Voice of the Shepherd. In the Old Testament, it was called the Voice of the Lord. And when the voice of the Lord spoke through a prophet or whoever, he was talking to Israel, but he was really talking to the entirety of the human population. But when we think about the voice of the shepherd, he's not talking to the whole world. He's talking to his people. In John chapter 10, beginning with verse 27, Jesus is speaking. He's speaking to the religious leadership of Israel of that day. But he says this, and it's very important for you and I to understand what's being said. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Verse 5 of that same chapter says this, "And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him because they know not the voice of strangers." My sheep hear my voice. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your presence and your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you are attentive to we that are less than the dust of the earth. God, who are as worms in your sight, but yet you set your great love upon us. And we thank you this morning, God, that you consider us. We'd ask you today, Lord, that your spirit would dwell here heavily upon the hearts and ears of the hearers, upon my heart and upon my speech, those watching my webcast, that you would penetrate into our minds and hearts the importance of knowing your voice. Father, we would ask you as well that you'd bless the offering today, those families, those individuals that support the word of the Lord through this ministry. We ask you that you would bless them, return it upon them in the way that they need to receive from your hand a hundredfold. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. Jesus says, "My sheep," meaning he's not talking to the world at large. He's not talking to people who have not come through the blood or who are not in relationship with him. He said, "My sheep. My sheep, they hear my voice." The voice of the shepherd is this, it's twofold. It is the voice of the word of God, as it is the written word of God, and the voice of the Holy Spirit, who are always in concert. They never contradict one another. They are always in total harmony. That is the voice of the shepherd for you and I. Meaning that when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and he should speak to you, you should hear his voice from time to time, it will never deviate from the word of God, not one iota. If you hear somebody say, "Well, thus saith the Lord," and it's contrary to the written word of God, that is not the Lord. That is somebody that's lost in their own mind. But Jesus says, "My sheep, number one, they hear my voice." There's only one thing more important than doing the will of God, and that is to be able to hear the will of God. You have to be able to hear it, again, through the scripture or from the Holy Spirit in order to do it. So he says, "My sheep, they hear my voice and I know them." And then number two, they follow me. Meaning that what they hear, they then are motivated to actually do that they've heard. Now, when you look at the secular world, you look at the profession of sheep herding or whatever that you call it, people that have large herds of sheep, this is a reality. The sheep learn the voice of whoever feeds them and cares for them and gives them water. The sheep hear his voice. And you could bring someone else in that gives them the exact same command and they will not do it because it's a different voice. Hence, Jesus said, "A stranger they will not follow." Now, this is important for you and I because we are bombarded every single day with a multitude of voices trying to influence us, trying to motivate us, trying to get us to do what they want us to do, which may, it may not be bad, it may be good, it may be indifferent, but it's not the voice of the shepherd. Now, this is important in the hour that we live in, because our nation is so charged now. It's, everything is so divided and divisive that you have, again, all of these voices trying to feed in to influence you, to motivate you, to move you to do whatever they want you to do. And it's important for you and I as Christians to realize that we respond only to the voice of the Lord. You don't respond. You don't say, well, this other voice spoke and it sounded like it was right, so I'm going to do what they do. No, 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 no. You hear what God is telling you to do, and if he don't tell you to do nothing, you don't do nothing. If he don't tell you to move, you don't move. If he tells you to do something and you're doing that thing and you've been doing it a long time, until he tells you something different, you keep doing the last thing that he told you to do. Amen. Now, we're living in a time that the influencers are over the top trying to impact. And this thing has come into the church. It's in the church now. And you have to know the shepherd's voice. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, just blank honest. Sometimes the devil can sound almost just like God. Sometimes ourselves can sound almost like God. But here's the reality. When God speaks, there's an unction. There's an inner witness that comes with it that you can't make yourself. I was standing over there a moment ago when the Lord, just questioning God, is this the right message for the people that you've assembled here today? And he conferred to me, yes, it is the right people. And he just gave me that inner witness. You feel it on the inside. This is what I want my people to have. And it's simply this. Don't follow all the voices that are screaming at you. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Our world system, our society today, the whole course of this world today is set up to get you involved in destroying the creation order. The whole world. The scientists, so-called, the government politicians, all are conspire together to try to get God's people to destroy the creation order. What am I talking about? In the beginning, God made them male and female. That other thing in the middle, that's a demon. That's a devil in the middle. And you and I can't let politicians sway us. We can't let social media sway us. We have to stay right on point. What did the shepherd say? The shepherd said male and the shepherd said female. In the beginning, God put Adam and Eve together and joined them together, and they became husband and wife. But our society says, no, now you can just coexist, and it's all right. The local government is good with it. The state, the national government are good with it. But what did the shepherd say? Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's what he said. And that means that we have to understand that we have the voice of the shepherd, and with all of our might and our power, we have to walk after that voice. He got a little bit quiet on that adultery thing. Our society, the creation order says, he said, Adam, you're the head of your wife. Paul confirmed it. The husband is the head of the wife. But you look at our society now, every movie now, you have the leading lady. You watch the sitcoms, which I don't mess with them, but the sitcoms, the husband and wife, the husband is the Dumbo of the house, and the wife is the one that's got she's got all the authority. It's to influence you to destroy the creation order in your mind. And it seems it's very subtle. It seems like, well, there's no harm with that. Yes, there is. There's big harm with that, because you have to understand when Satan comes in, he doesn't come in and kick down the door and put you in a headlock and make you do something. He moves like a serpent. And he comes in and he makes you want to do that thing. And that's how we get ourselves in trouble with God. And it's because we listen to the voice of the stranger. So let me be clear this morning. Who is the stranger? Well, we know that it's Satan. But how does he move? How does he come to us? He comes to us through the evening news. He's tried to push you all the way right or all the way left. He doesn't want you to be normal. He wants you to have the mind of an activist, either on the right or on the left. And that's not where we lie. I don't care who wins. I'm not going to be here that much longer. I'm leaving with him. This is not my home. This was never my home. Brother, when the resurrection of life occurs, I'm going to give my car keys to the devil. You can have a house. You can have it all. I'm going on to be with the Lord. So we don't want to get so entrenched in the matters of society here that we begin to drift after the voice of the stranger and we no longer hear the voice of the shepherd. Now, I'll tell you how subtly he comes in. All of us, for the most part, you've got a cell phone in your pocket. On that cell phone, you have a social media account, be it Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever that it is. And you know what the biggest thing in social media now is? They get millions of dollars. They get paid to be an influencer. They're paid to influence you, to make you think, well, my hair should be like that. I should put another tat on me. I need another piece of iron hanging out of my face. I need to do some other weird stuff. This has been probably 20 years ago when people started getting piercings. I thought it was absolute madness. And I realized at that time, if I just had the money, I could make a gold bone, put one little diamond in it and tell people you are the bomb. You are in style if you just put this in your nose. And I could have made amends. And now it's played out and you see, I actually could have made amends because people got iron hanging out of their face in every dimension. It sounds strange, doesn't it? Say, well, but everybody's doing it. That's because people have been influenced. Here's why I can preach this. There's no tattoo on me. I was a sailor. All sailors have tattoos. I ain't got none. Because Leviticus says, make no markings in your body. Oh, yeah. You know how I know that? I heard the voice of the shepherd. Amen. And I followed him, and I've always followed him. And I'm not beating you up if you've got tats or piercings. I'm not beating you up this morning. I'm saying learn the voice of the Lord and don't allow the stranger to continue to influence you. And I give you an example. Again, I'm not beating anybody up this morning. You are where you are. But now this tattoo thing has got so bad, they got to have one across their forehead. Right across their forehead. What that means is you will never have a white-collar job. No, you will always work getting your fingernails dirty back in the warehouse somewhere. Not because you're not smart enough, because you've been influenced. You've been pushed out of the normality, and you've been pushed off into a fringe somewhere. And Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. And here's the thing. We have to listen for his voice. As a young Christian, you have to learn his voice. You don't know it the first day. You have to learn it. And then as you learn it and it's solidified, that's the voice of the Lord. Now you have to follow it. But more than anything else, you have to refuse the voice of a stranger trying to speak into your life. We look back at the garden during original sin in Genesis chapter 3, if you were turned there. And I want to show you how this played out. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now listen to the definition of subtle. Here's the definition. It refers to something that is understated, often operated in a way that is not immediately obvious. It describes qualities that rely on quiet influence rather than direct force or blunt expression. So subtle means something that's understated. It means you come in and it's very understated what you're doing, but the serpent always has a goal that he's taking you to. And this is why we can't listen to the voice of the stranger, because he will start with what you want to hear. He'll start with what's very acceptable to you, but he's leading you down a path. He's leading you away from the voice of the shepherd down another path. And I guarantee down that path, you're going to find out that his intention was always to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, stop right there. He's speaking to the woman. His voice is the voice of a stranger speaking to Eve. She had never spoke to the serpent before. She had only heard from Adam and from God. Those were the voices she heard from. So this is a new voice that she's not familiar with. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Notice how subtle that is. He's just asking a question. Hey, I was just wondering, is this what God said? Now, he knows where he's taking her to, but he comes in with subtlety. And this is how influencers influence us. I'll give you another example. Social media, your influencers. For the female influencers, do they always have to have a low-cut blouse? Or can they influence without being half naked? And they say one thing, but you're looking at the whole presentation and something else is impacting your mind. And the next thing you know, you got an OnlyFans page. And OnlyFans is just a digital hooker. That's what OnlyFans is. You're just making money to make do what you do. Rather than just be normal. I'd rather walk with God and have a humble life than have $1 million and be following the voice of a stranger. Because the stranger is always going to lead you. He's a hireling. He's always going to lead you into a strange place that you have no business being. Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent. Now, hold it right there. The strange voice has engaged with her. And rather than to deny him, she begins to engage back. That's the mistake right there. Jesus said, a stranger they will not follow. They will not do what a stranger is telling them to do. And no matter how subtle, no matter how harmless it may seem, it's not the voice of the Lord. Now, here's what that means. I'll tell you how that's going to play out. When I was a young Christian, I just got saved. This is 40 years ago. And I came into the assemblies of God, and the preacher would bark across the pulpit, you need to throw that ungodly one-eyed devil called the TV out of your house. That's old school preaching. Yeah, but it's still good preaching. But as a young Christian, I said, well, I paid a lot of money for the TV. I'm not sure I want to throw that away. And so I said, well, you know what? I've got to get a grip on this. I just can't give myself to it. And there was a time that I fought with the television set. I fought with it because I wouldn't throw it away. I fought with it. You know, the things that were on, I wanted to see my program. But through the years, the Lord faithfully has dealt. I still own the television set. I never watch it. I don't watch it at all. I don't have any programs. I don't watch the news on television. I don't watch any of that. It truly is a one-eyed devil that is in your house simply to influence you. And you do the most basic thing, the most seemingly innocent thing. I'm just going to watch the evening news. And you flood it with propaganda. And it don't matter if you're on the left or the right. You can always tell it's propaganda by how many adjectives they use. That means they're painting it. They're painting their slant that they want to put on it. And we turn off the TV and we take out our cell phone and we go to our favorite social media platform and we're being influenced. again. Say, well, I'm just gonna talk to my friends then. Not realizing your friends also have a TV and they also have social media and their attitudes also influence you. There's only one place to be safe. It's God. I know this is hard. You stay in this word. I don't have no friends. I have people that I love that are like my family. I don't hang out with nobody. I hang out with the word of God. Because this is what keeps you stable. But when you start running buddy-buddy with this person and that person just in a little amount of time, you're going to find yourself drifting the direction of your peers. They're not trying to do wrong. You're not trying to do wrong. But if you don't know his voice and stay with his voice, you are always going to go astray. Because the voice of the stranger is screaming at you every single day. Every single day. If I want to hang out, I hang out with my wife. Yeah. And I'm satisfied. I mean, I'm not trying to tell you get rid of all your friends, but I am telling you, you need to know the voice of the master and let him lead you to a quiet place. Let him lead you beside still waters. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And now it's starting to happen. Now the influencer is really starting to put forth his influence. And the serpent said unto the woman, you will not surely die. That's always cracked me up. You shall not surely die. Like, yeah, there's a chance, but it's not that great. Maybe 5%. But we know the story. Now, at this point, the serpent goes off. He stops talking to Eve. He didn't put her in a headlock and put that fruit in her mouth. He influenced her. It was just an influence. And it may have been a week later, a day later, a month later. We don't know how much. But she starts looking at that fruit. Man, that fruit does look good. Until she partook of it. And she found out immediately after disobeying God, because God told Adam and Adam told Eve, don't eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. And she partook of it. And now you see the fruit of the influence that she walked under. See, this is something that happens to us. And again, saints, I am not beating up anybody. I'm not mad at anybody this morning, but I've got to tell you this. We know, most people know coming up, sex outside of marriage is taboo. We're not to do that. God said within the confines of marriage, the sexual expression was only given to husbands and wives. It was not given to single people. But it was stolen out of the institution of marriage. And people, they enjoy themselves in their sexual expression outside of marriage. And they think everything is okay until, we're going to be parents. We're getting ready to have a baby. And then you find out that because it's outside of marriage, well, the brother's got no, he can roll. Because the attitude of the average brother is, oh, you the one pregnant. I'm moving to Oklahoma. Didn't I tell you? And we find what happened is that the society that we live in has influenced us to do something that we knew we shouldn't do, and then it blows up in our face, and we find our lives are devastated, and that we've hurt our own selves. Listen, the voice of the shepherd is the most important thing that you can know. And just like Eve, if you allow the stranger to come in and begin to engage with you, it may look innocent. But it's not the voice of the Lord. As the sheep of God, we should not engage with it. We should not engage with it in any way. Now, quickly, this entire thing, it's not just on an individual basis. Whole churches, whole congregations have been wiped out because of the influence of the strange voice. When Paul went to Galatia, he established a church there, and the Galatians were heathen. They were not even Jews. They were just heathen. But he established the church there, and the Holy Spirit moved upon people. They not only got saved, they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. They began to have the gifts of the Spirit, and all of the expressions of Christianity begin to be begin to grow in that congregation. But then Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 1, he says that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, what he's saying is that false ministers, false Christians came into that congregation and began to spread their influence amongst the people. False brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily, meaning they used methods of stealth, meaning they didn't agree with what Paul was saying, but they acted like they did, and they moved in into positions where they did not look dangerous to anybody, but they began to slowly influence the people after Paul departed. They came in to privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ, so that they might, their influence might bring us into bondage. And that's exactly how it happens. And let me just say this. I keep a pretty good eye, as good of an eye as I can keep over this flock. But I need you as sheep. If anyone walks up to you and tries to give you another doctrine other than Christ and crucified, you let your shepherd know. My job is to stomp their head and to shoo them away. Because this flock gets the pure word of God, as pure as we know to preach it. So he goes on then in the next chapter, Galatians chapter 3. Now, he just said false brethren came in. They began to spread their influence. And then in chapter 3, he says, oh, foolish Galatians. In the Greek, that means, oh, stupid ones, because he's rebuking them. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? The word bewitch, it means to be, who seduced you? Who influenced you? That you should not obey the truth. See, the truth, that's the voice of the shepherd. Whenever he speaks truth. And here's, I know we don't like this, but here's the thing about the voice of the shepherd. Whether you like it or not doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Whether it seems like you're going to enjoy it or where it's going to be dredge work for you, it doesn't matter. You just follow that voice. You're always going to be better following the voice of the Lord. And again, if the Holy Spirit speaking to you, it's always going to match this word. It's not ever going to deviate. Because sometimes we can, I've heard it too many times. 40 years in the church, I've heard it. Thus saith the Lord, yea, 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 I say it to thee. I had dinner with a man. He wanted to take me to lunch or something. And I really didn't know this brother, but he wanted to take me to lunch. So I was gracious. And we were sitting there eating lunch. And he said, the Lord has spoken to me. He said, you're going to be a great man of God. He said, your voice is going to go across the nations. And at the time, my voice was already across the nation through the webcast and the radio. And so I listened for a little while, and he was going on and on. And then I began to rebuke him. I began to tell him, everything you're saying is not God. God has not spoken to you. He hadn't told you none of that. This is all coming out of your own mind, and I need you to just stop buttering me up. I need to stop hearing that. God hadn't told you anything. And the rest of the dinner was rather tense. But when it's not the voice of the shepherd, you need to know. And you know how I know? When God speaks, even through a prophecy, you get an inner witness. You know it on the inside. It's just not what hits your eardrums. Inside of yourself, you get an unction. You know, that's God speaking. That's how when someone gives a prophecy or utterance in tongues in the congregation, my wife and I always compare because, was that God? What? I felt like it was God. I felt it. You know, sometimes you can just be listening to Christian music or watching a new Christian video and the song is such that, oh man, I feel God in that. You can feel it in there. And then there's other times it's like, it's just good music, but the Spirit of the Lord's not in it. So he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified amongst you." What he's saying is that when I established the church, I preached Christ crucified so plainly, so openly, it's as though you were sitting at the cross watching it happen. And who has come in now and influenced you to move in a different direction? Now, saints, I'll close by saying this. Another word for influence is propaganda. The propaganda in our nation is at an all-time high. I don't care left or right, either one. You need to make sure that you understand you are not a Democrat, you are not a Republican. You're not a conservative, you're not a progressive. You are a Christian. You have citizenship in another kingdom. And so the cares of this world, let this world do whatever this world is going to do. It's already written. You need to walk with the Master. Walk with God. Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, I've done my best this morning to warn the people. Lord, as the waves of influence, one after another, batter against our lives, help us, Lord, to have a singular focus on the Word of God. Lord, on the worship, on seeking your face on a daily basis. Lord, that we might not follow the voice of the stranger, but help us, oh God, to hear the shepherd's voice and to follow you, knowing that you know us, you know our needs, you know what we have need of. Father, we just come to you today asking you that you'd move upon every heart, upon every life in this room, that you touch every single one of us. Come on, would you stand? Why don't you just go to the Lord with me this morning? Seek God for your own life, for your own family. God, help us. Help us not to follow the voice of the stranger. Help us not to engage with the voice of the stranger. Help us to come out from amongst them and separate ourselves, being holy as you are holy. Father, help us today to let the world go, to shun the world, to shun the things of the world, and to walk in your presence alone. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning. Ask him to help you to hear his voice.
Yes, God, every place that we've allowed influence to come in, God, we rebuke it and bind it now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for being a gracious God, for giving us a word, knowing that we could come back and say we stumbled. We allowed influence here. We opened up a door here. But God, you can close those doors. We give you permission to close those doors. We give you permission now to come into our hearts and scrape out every single bit of worldly influence that we have in it. We give you permission, God, to sit on that throne. We give you permission, God. We surrender ourselves to you now, God, to your voice, to your guidance. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus Christ is your word, your truth, God. And we thank you for this word that you bestowed upon your people. And we will be doers of this word. In Jesus' most holy, precious name we pray. Amen. Praise God for that word that came forth. Amen. Yes. Amen. We have a few announcements. If you haven't already given, we do need your support. It's for this word, for it to continue to come out. And we have Torrance Nash, who will be with us on February 22nd, both services. And I remember him. He was a real good blessing. So please come out and be a blessing and hear the word. And with that being said, bless you this Sunday. Be safe getting home. You are dismissed. Have a good one.